Thank you for listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast, where we discuss all of the news in the world of basketball. My name is Ben Brown. I'm in the studio alone today. Pauline is not here. She will be returning tomorrow to talk all things basketball on our Thursday episode. But it's just me. I'm doing a one-on-one episode just Wednesdays here. Going to be talking a lot about the NBA, a busy, busy day last night. A lot of big storylines, a lot of good performances from last night, as well as some unfortunate news for Chris Paul of the Los Angeles Clippers. As well as tonight, we do have round two, the second matchup between Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook. The game is at Oracle Arena in Oakland. Gives them a lot of an advantage. The first game was there as well. Have to see if Westbrook wears any different pregame attire as opposed to last game. Remember, he came out in the official photographer vest, kind of taking a shot at KD there. I'm going to be very, very interested the first time these two meet up in OKC, because you're going to see Durant get that LeBron treatment. All the boo birds are going to come out. Is it going to get to him or not? We'll have to wait on that. But anyways, I'll save that preview for the end of the show, because we're going to start off talking about last night in the NBA, all the games and performances that really stood out in my mind. The Toronto Raptors improved to 28-13 with a 10-point victory over the Brooklyn Nets, 119-109. DeMar DeRozan had 33 points, 11 rebounds, and 6 assists to lead the way for the Raptors. Brook Lopez was the top performer for the Nets. He had 28 points, 8 rebounds, and 2 assists. Now, James Harden and the Rockets. James Harden having a breakout year, his best year by far that we've seen in the NBA. Although they did lose last night 109-103 to the Miami Heat, James Harden making some history last night. James Harden, another triple-double, 40 points, 12 rebounds, and 10 assists. But he's been doing that pretty much all year long. We already knew that. But what made history last night was his fourth 40-point triple-double of the season. He's done three of them in the past week, week and a half now. So he's doing them pretty quickly recently. Only Oscar Robertson has as many 40-point triple-doubles in a season as James Harden does, and that's four. Harden did it last night. It's January 18th. We're not even at the All-Star break yet. James Harden needs one more 40-point triple-double to have the most 40-point triple-doubles in a single season in NBA history. Oscar Robertson averaged a triple-double for the entire year. James Harden just continues to impress. Right now, he's my MVP in the NBA, and it's only Russell Westbrook that could take that away from him. I think if Westbrook averages the triple-double all year long like he's doing right now, although it is just barely, if he does it like he's doing all year long, I think he'll win it. If he doesn't, I think it's going to James Harden. The team's better. They're having a better season overall. The record's better. Harden's numbers are really, really similar to Westbrook's. And I think that's going to make the difference. We knew Russell Westbrook was going to put up these numbers. We knew he was going to be averaging a triple-double at least some point in the season. Not sure if he'll be able to keep it up all year long. But we knew that Russ was going to be able to do what he's doing. We didn't know that James Harden would be doing what he's doing right now, and the Rockets would be playing as good as they are right now. They didn't really shoot well last night. Ryan Anderson missed the game with a flu. Eric Gordon was 1 of 10 from 3. James Harden shot 12 of 30 overall. So they didn't really play well last night. They only lost by 6. The Heat aren't a great team, but still, the Rockets are going to be there all year long. The Dallas Mavericks pick up another win, their second in a row. They defeat the Chicago Bulls 99-98. Seth Curry, the top performer for Dallas, 18 points, 2 assists, and 2 rebounds. Jimmy Butler, just one rebound short of a triple-double. He had 24 points, 12 assists, and 9 boards to lead the way for the Bulls, although they did lose the game. The Spurs with a 122-114 victory over the struggling Minnesota Timberwolves. Kawhi Leonard, in my opinion, the second best two-way player in the league behind LeBron when you look at offense and defense. He had 34 points, 7 rebounds, and 5 assists. Karl Anthony Towns led the way for the Timberwolves, 27 points, 16 boards, and a block. And then the Denver Nuggets, one of the best offensive teams in the league. They did it again last night. They had 6 players in double figures, led by Nikola Jokic, 29 points, 5 rebounds, and 1 assist. They defeat the Lakers 127-121. Lou Williams was the top contributor for the Lakers. He had 24 points. He also had 7 assists and 4 rebounds to lead the way for the Lakers. As I mentioned, we do have the big game tonight in the NBA, and it is the OKC Thunder going into Oakland to take on the Golden State Warriors. But that's not the only game on the schedule for tonight. There are some others that we're going to look at just briefly. One of them being the Grizzlies will take on the Wizards. The Raptors will battle against the Philadelphia 76ers. The Portland Trailblazers will take on the Hornets. The Knicks will battle the Celtics. The Magic will take on the Pelicans. The Bucks will battle those Houston Rockets and James Harden to see if he can get his 5th 40-point triple-double of the year. Going to be interested to see if Giannis Antetokounmpo matches up with him a little bit. Maybe that size advantage for Antetokounmpo, the length, the Greek freak can maybe slow him down a little bit. Going to be interested to see how Jason Kidd sort of attacks James Harden on defense. The Atlanta Hawks will take on the Detroit Pistons. I mentioned the Thunder and Warriors. And in the other game, the Kings, they're currently on a 7-game homestand and they're 1-5. They'll have that last game of the 7-game homestand against the Pacers tonight. And then other news in the NBA really quickly. I said the Clippers and Chris Paul simply just cannot catch a break. The Clippers star point guard is going to be out 6 to 8 weeks because he has to have surgery, which will be today, to repair a torn ligament in his left thumb. Like I said, he's going to be out 6 to 8 weeks. Blake Griffin's currently out. He's missed 13 games with arthroscopic knee surgery. He missed some games earlier in the season, did Chris Paul with a hamstring injury. J.J. Redick's missed a couple of games. Although the Clippers aren't doing too bad, they are fourth in the Western Conference right now at 29-14. They're definitely going to need their top stars if they're going to break out. I feel like the Clippers could be that team that reminds me last year of the Thunder. The Thunder last year were a good team all year long. A couple of big stars, Westbrook and Durant. And in the fourth quarter, they just couldn't finish games. What happened in the postseason? They played absolutely fantastic. They beat the Spurs in the second round. They had a 3-1 lead against the Warriors, although they did end up losing that series when they shouldn't have. They were that team that no one really talked about and no one really gave any love to and probably should have been in the finals and made a deep postseason run. I feel like the Clippers could be that team this year if they're healthy. The problem right now is that they're not healthy. Chris Paul is going to be out 2 months now. You look in the grand scheme of things in the NBA, 2 months is a lot of games. Blake Griffin still trying to work his way back from knee surgery. I mean, they're just kind of going through the punches right now. And the Clippers have had these injury issues really even going back to last year. Remember, they lost in the first round to the Blazers. Chris Paul was out of that series with a hand injury. He broke his hand in that series. They just couldn't really get it done. You lose Chris Paul, who is by far the best true point guard in the league. When you look at from a true point guard perspective, the point guard position has really changed. It's more about a three-pointer and a wing game. Chris Paul's not really that. He wants to average, 18 points, 10 assists, not really do too much scoring, be that distributor, solely a distributor. That kind of age in a point guard has really died. It's really gone. So he's basically that the old school true point guard. He's probably that best definition in the NBA right now. Without him there, and he's a great defender as well. He leads the NBA in steals right now with 2.5 a game. So without him there, it's going to be very, very hard for the Clippers. But if the Clippers can get healthy near the end of the season, I mean, in their last 10 games, they're 7-3. They're currently on a 7-game winning streak, so they're playing really, really well as of lately. But they're not going to have Chris Paul during that stretch for the next couple of months now. It's going to be interesting to see if they can sort of right the ship, get healthy postseason time, and then maybe make a deep run. Because I think they have it in them. We saw the Warriors do it last year. Everyone wrote them off because they couldn't finish games. And then ultimately, they couldn't finish the series against the Warriors, which kind of came back to haunt them. But still, they have it in them. They showed it last year. I think the Clippers could be that team this year, but they don't have Chris Paul. They're still without Blake Griffin, and they're going to need other guys to step up. They have a ton of depth. Jamal Crawford is probably the best sixth man we've ever seen in the league. Father Time literally just does not catch up to that guy. An exceptional shooter, great off the dribble, good on isolation. So, I have to wait and see what the Clippers can do. But they're going to be without Chris Paul for 6 to 8 weeks. because he has to have surgery to repair a ligament in his hand. It was in a game on Monday. He was forced to leave the game in the second quarter. The MRI came out yesterday and ultimately gave us the news I'm talking about today. So bad news for the Clippers and for CP3. We'll take our first break of the show. After the break, we're going to be talking about college basketball, talk about the new AP Top 25 poll, some of the games within the Top 25 last night, and some of the games going on tonight. Talk about that right after the break at the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back into the show, guys. I'm not sure if there's something that doesn't mean so much as the men's basketball top 25 polls, but it is a good talking point because come tournament time, you get seeded. Everything changes because you have conference tournaments. A lot of times the committee will rank teams depending on how they've been playing lately. And then once you're in the tournament, once you have your seeding, everything's really thrown out the window because it's a one-game season every single week out. You have to just keep winning to progress on. Doesn't matter where you're ranked or everything. So I guess there's not really a more less meaningful thing than the top 25, but it is a good talking point. After Baylor did lose last Monday, their first loss of the season, they were the number one team. Of course, they're going to slide down in the top 25 poll. So they drop from number one to number six. Kansas was number two. They're 16-1. So you would imagine that they would jump up to that new number one seed, which was not the case. So Villanova is the new number one seed in the AP Top 25. They have 28 first place votes. They're just narrowly edging out Kansas as far as points are concerned by 18 points, 1580 compared to 1562. Although Kansas does have more first place votes than Villanova, 32-28. They are second overall. UCLA out in the West Coast is number three. Gonzaga, the lone undefeated team in college basketball, are number four. I feel like they could be typical Gonzaga. Go undefeated, maybe lose one game, two at the most. They already beat St. Mary's, who's the best team besides them in their conference, and get that number one seed like they have before. And maybe like a Sweet 16 ousting. We've seen that before. A couple of years ago, they were the number one seed overall in the West. And they lost in the Sweet 16, in the second round to that number eight, number nine seed matchup. That could be Gonzaga again. They're not bad. They're not a bad team, but they're obviously not playing the same competition as a lot of these other major schools are because they're in the West Coast Conference. They're not really playing in a big elite Power 5 conference. They're not really stepping out non-conference and playing a lot of big-time schools, kind of just flying under the radar, getting a lot of good players. They're definitely a good team, but they're not playing some of the same competition, and that comes to hurt them tournament time. See if that is the way for Gonzaga this year. It's still pretty early. We're still 17 games in for them, 17-0. So still a couple months left till March. It'll be really, really exciting. Number five is Kentucky. Baylor, as I mentioned, was number one. They fell to number six. Creighton, and at number seven, West Virginia moves up from 10 to 7. They're like a tie with Creighton, so I don't really know how that works. You have two number sevens in the nation. I don't really agree with that. But number nine, North Carolina. Number 10, Florida State. Number 11 is Oregon. Number 12 is Louisville. Butler Bulldogs are 13th. Arizona 14. Notre Dame 15. Virginia Cavaliers are 16. Wisconsin in at 17. Duke, after their bad week where they lost a couple of games to Louisville and to Florida State, dropped to number 18. They're kind of really feeling the effects of not having Mike Krzyzewski right now, because they're just simply not playing well. Number 19 is Florida out in the SEC. Number 20, Cincinnati. Purdue Boilermakers in the Big Ten are number 21. Xavier are in at number 22. I mentioned St. Mary's and Gonzaga. St. Mary's is 23. South Carolina, the Gamecocks, in at number 24. And the new number 25 is Maryland, having a really good season, 16-2. They do have Melo Tremble, who's a very good player in his junior year now. So they could make some headlines there in the ACC, be that surprise team. We've seen Miami been that surprise team lately, not so much this year, but recently it's been Miami. See if they can keep it up, the Maryland Terrapins. Some of the games within college basketball last night. Number 5, Kentucky pick up a 88-81 victory on the road over Mississippi State. The Wildcats improved to 6-0 in conference play. The top player for them last night was Wayne and Gabriel. He had 13 points, 8 rebounds, and 2 assists. Baylor pick up a victory over Texas last night. Number 6, Baylor, that is, 74-64. Texas really struggling, 7-11 overall, and 1-5 within conference. So Baylor's top performer last night, Jonathan Motley, he had 32 points and 20 rebounds to go along with 2 assists. Absolutely monstrous game. You think about college basketball, there's only 40 minutes. You have 2 20-minute halves. So for you to have 20 rebounds in one game, that's even impressive in the NBA, let alone in college. So very good performance there for Motley. Number 17, Wisconsin, pick up a 4-point victory over Michigan, 68-64. Bronson Koenig, the top performer for the Badgers, 16 points, 4 rebounds, and 1 assist. Bronson Koenig, another one of those players. I talked about Pauline last week with London Parentes from Virginia. Another one of those players that seems like he's just been at the program forever. He's a senior. He's been playing since he's a freshman, so he's been there 4 years. But you could have sworn he's been at the program for the last 10 years. Just one of those guys. I mentioned last week as well, we had London Parentes, but I compared him kind of like Mario Chalmers. All three guys are these point guards as well, started right away, getting a lot of playing time. They always have the ball in their hands, so they're always getting talked about. Bronson Koenig, another one of those guys, seems like he's just been at the program forever. It's a name you probably all know if you're talking about college basketball. He's a very good player. Good game last night. 16, 4 rebounds, and 1 assist. And then last night, Purdue pick up a 91-68 victory over the Illinois Fighting Illini. They absolutely killed them. Purdue improves to 15-4 and 4-2 in the Big Ten. Isaac Haas, good game last night for Purdue. The big man had 24 points, 6 rebounds, and 2 assists. Malcolm Hill was the top performer for Illinois. He had 12 points, 5 assists, and 1 rebound. And so that takes me into some of the games in college basketball tonight. We have 2 big-time matchups within schools that are both ranked within the top 25. One of them in the SEC, 2 unbeaten teams in the SEC. Number 19, Florida, will go into Colonial Life Arena in Columbia, South Carolina, to take on those number 24 South Carolina Gamecocks. Have to see if Kevon Allen can match up with PJ Dozier, the 2 guard position there. It's going to be a nice little matchup. Dozier is averaging almost 15 points, 5 rebounds, and 3 assists, and Allen's averaging just about 14 points, 2 rebounds, and 2 assists. So those two will match up out in the SEC, a really good matchup there. And then you look at the ACC, you have Notre Dame in at number 15, and number 10, Florida State. A good game there. It's going to be in Tallahassee in Florida. Have to see if Bonzi Colson and Notre Dame can battle against Dwayne Bacon and the Seminoles. Really good matchup out there in the ACC. 2 schools. I mean, the ACC is really, really deep this year. You look at Notre Dame. You look at Florida State. You have North Carolina. Maryland's ranked now. You always have Duke. You have Louisville. That is an absolutely tremendous, tremendous conference in basketball. Great history. Great tradition. You also have Virginia out there. I mean, you could be looking at a ton of schools come tournament time. Let's just roll some off here. You have Notre Dame. You have Florida State. You have Duke. You have Louisville. You have Maryland. You have Virginia. That's 6 schools alone. The ACC could be looking at a few more teams make deep runs in the tournament. Of course, if you win the conference tournament, you are automatically in to the big dance. So you could have a team maybe like a Boston College who's not really doing too well sort of creep in there. The ACC really, really deep this year. I'm really happy to see, because the ACC's always been a great power in college basketball. Duke and North Carolina have always been solid. Now you throw in Louisville into the mix. Florida State's been okay. Notre Dame's been okay. So now you throw those teams into the mix. It's absolutely fantastic to see. We'll take our last break of the show. After the break, we're going to be talking about some news within basketball. Carmelo Anthony deciding he wants to stay as a member of the New York Knicks after meeting with Phil Jackson yesterday. Is that a good decision for Melo? Is it a good decision for the Knicks? We'll debate that, as well as Blake Griffin. Although he's not playing for the Clippers right now, he's definitely staying busy in his off time. In his rehab time, he's staying busy. He's going to be co-producing a remake of a film from 1992. It's a basketball movie that we all love. And we'll talk about that and more right after the break at the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
So, talked about Texas with their loss yesterday in college basketball to Baylor by 10. Shaka Smart not doing too well at Texas right now, but he does have something to look forward to, and that is Matt Coleman. A couple days ago, he's the number 26th ranked player in ESPN's top 100. Top 5 point guard prospect to come in to college basketball. He has decided to commit to the Texas Longhorns over the Duke Blue Devils. He's a good fit. He's from Virginia. He plays at Oak Hill Academy. We've seen how many NBA prospects they've developed. So he's going to be jumping from Oak Hill. He's going to be going to Texas. He's from Virginia. Shaka Smart was sort of recruiting him already when he was the coach at VCU a couple years back, since switching over to Texas. So it makes sense. Texas also has a couple of top other recruits within most sort of rankings, top 100, Jericho Sims and Royce Ham. A couple of guys still in the mix that they could get, some of them within the top 15 as well. So Shaka Smart trying to turn around the Texas Longhorns. We've seen they've been an okay basketball school. Think about some of the guys that have been there, Avery Bradley, Kevin Durant, to name some others. Miles Turner doing really well with the Pacers right now. So we'll have to wait and see, but he does have a really good point guard prospect in Matt Coleman coming in to his program. He's 6'1". He already knows the kid. He's got a good size, good coaching pedigree, good tutelage at Oak Hill. So maybe he can sort of turn them around next year, because this year it's not really going Shaka Smart's way with Texas. So I'm going to transition now, talking about Carmelo Anthony. Everybody loves Carmelo Anthony, right? We love to talk about him. One of the most polarized athletes in basketball, because just not really the best team player. One of those guys I feel like he's never going to win a championship. I put him in the mold with Dwight Howard. I would have said James Harden prior to this season, but James Harden's showing me a little something different. I still don't think he's a guy that's going to win a title as the leader of a team, because I think when push comes to shove, he'll be a little more selfish, not necessarily the best teammate. Doing really well with the Rockets. I've been praising him all year long. I love the guy. He's doing fantastic under Mike D'Antoni. But come playoff time, are they going to be able to keep that up? And is Harden going to maybe revert back to some of his old ways? We'll have to wait and see. But anyways, I put Carmelo Anthony in that same mold. So Carmelo Anthony yesterday having a meeting with Knicks president Phil Jackson about basically his future with the team. After sort of reports came out last week that maybe the organization and Carmelo should maybe part ways. Maybe have one of those we need to talk moments. Because a confidant of Jackson's wrote kind of a critical column about the organization and Melo, how they're not really made for each other and they should basically go their separate ways. So anyways, Melo and Phil Jackson have a sit down yesterday, and Carmelo Anthony tells Phil Jackson, I want to stay. I have a no trade clause. I don't want to give it up. I want to be part of this team. I want to try and build towards the future as a member of the New York Knicks. He does have 2 years left on his max deal. So he does have a couple of years left. He does have a no trade clause. So he'd obviously have to approve any sort of trade, even if they were going to have talks about it. Good young team. I guess okay team. You have Kristaps Porzingis, who's one of the best young big men. Going to be fantastic in a couple of years in my regards with Joel Embiid. Derrick Rose has Although off the court, we know his little hiatus last week wasn't the greatest thing. He's been okay, averaging about 17 points, 4 or 5 assists. Not terrible, but I kind of throw Derrick Rose in that same mix with Melo and Dwight Howard. Not really the best teammates, not really the best team guys. So I kind of throw them in that same mold. But now you have Carmelo Anthony. Should the Knicks stick with Carmelo Anthony? For me, the answer is strictly no. I'm not a Carmelo guy. But if you don't have Carmelo Anthony, then what do you really have? You have Kristaps Porzingis, of course, going to be good. Going to be a great player. I think he's already pretty good. But after that, you don't really have much. Joakim Noah, he's a good hustler, good rebounder, just provides those hustle points, kind of like Dennis Rodman used to do. So he's an okay piece to have. He's got a big contract, though, because you just signed him in the offseason, and he's got a lot of years left on that guaranteed contract, so you're going to have him be a part of your future. So what do you do without Carmelo Anthony on your team? You're not a good team. You're already not a good team. When you look at their standings over there in the Eastern Conference, they're 11th right now at 18-24. They're basically 2.5-3 games out of a playoff spot right now. They're probably not going to get in. Even if they do get in, they'll be pacing the Cavs in the first round, maybe the Raptors if something happens to Cleveland, and they'll be out in the first round. So they're not going to be going anywhere. So you kind of are stuck with Carmelo Anthony, aren't you? Because you don't have any other options. He's a guy who can definitely score. I mean, we all know he's one of the better scorers of this generation. But without him, you're not any better than you are with him. Because you have to build other things around him. And right now, he's just not that guy you build around. So if you dump him, you're basically setting yourself up to be the same team that you have been for the past decade. And maybe Phil can get it right. I thought the moves to bring in D. Rose and Joakim Noah were good. The draft pick of Porzingis was really scrutinized at the beginning, but now it seems like that's okay. Carmelo's averaging 22 points, 6 boards, and 3 assists this season. He's doing all right. You know, not a terrible guy. We've seen him. He's been one of the better scorers. He's been averaging almost 25 points his whole career. So he's doing okay. You either have to decide to cut him loose and strictly rebuild and trust the system, trust the triangle with Phil Jackson, which I'm not a big fan of the triangle for me. But so you kind of have to just trust Phil Jackson. And you have 2 more years left with Melo. I say you just fight through these last 2 years. You already have Porzingis to build around, who's going to be good. He can be the cornerstone of your franchise. And just go from there and just sort of roll with the punches for the next couple of years and stick with him until then. Because if you're going to try and trade for him, who's going to bring in Carmelo Anthony? He's on a big contract. You have to trade contracts in the NBA. You can't just trade Carmelo Anthony for a couple of backups. They got to be contract worthy. The contracts have to match. You have to match at least 90% of the contracts in the NBA to make a trade. So you're going to have to trade a lot of money because you're giving away a lot of money in Melo. Is someone going to make that offer? I don't think so. No one believes really in their mind that Carmelo Anthony can help them win a title by himself. He's got to go into a team with a lot of contributors already. And I don't see any team that's ready to make that move right now. So we'll have to wait and see, but I guess they're just stuck with Melo for a couple of years in my mind. I turn over to Blake Griffin now. I mentioned Blake Griffin's not playing. He's recovering from knee surgery. But one thing he will be doing in his off time is he's going to co-produce a remake of White Men Can't Jump, one of the best basketball movies I've ever seen, one of my favorites. Woody Harrelson, Wesley Snipes, basically hustle out on Venice Beach as basketball players, a little 2-on-2. It's a great movie. If you haven't seen it, I'm sure you have, especially if you're watching or listening to this basketball podcast. So I'm sure you've seen the movie. It's fantastic. Me, personally, I'm not a big fan of remakes of movies. I think they just always do it terrible. The remake's never better than the original. I could see maybe re-releasing it. Like, re-releasing it, updating it. We see this all the time. Disney does it all the time. Now Disney's sort of transitioning into remaking these cartoon movies into real-life action movies, and the storyline's a little different, so that's okay. Disney does it well, but for the most part, remaking movies just doesn't really work. Blake Griffin's going to be co-producing it, though. It's part of his production company, as part as Kenya Barris, which is creator of ABC's comedy Blackish. That's an okay series as well. So I guess we'll have to see how it does. But for me, I've just never really been a big fan of remaking movies. They just never are as good as the original. But Blake Griffin could be okay. I mean, we've seen him with the Kia commercials. He does some stuff with Subway. So he has some TV experience. He does pretty good with the Kia commercials. They're pretty funny. So I'll have to see how Blake Griffin does in his off time while he's here making White Men Can't Jump the remake. And then again tonight, I got a hit on it. The Warriors against the Thunder 2.0. Westbrook versus Durant 2. The game is still at the Warriors' place at the Oracle Arena, which the first game was when the Thunder absolutely got destroyed 122-96. You have Game 3, that's February 11th, and Game 4 of this regular season series is March 20th. Those two games will be in OKC. That's going to be when the big storylines come out, because that'll be Durant's first trip back to Oklahoma City, which he's going to get the LeBron treatment. Everyone's going to boo him. So as far as tonight goes, I'm sure the Warriors will win. They're at home. Westbrook's going to do everything he can, like he has been every other game, trying hard. I'm sure they're going to put Klay Thompson on him a little bit. Are the Warriors maybe slow him down? And overall, the Warriors are just a better team. Four All-Stars compared to one. Westbrook can't really do it all right now. The Thunder are kind of up and down. The Warriors are playing hot. They're coming off that victory over the Cavs. They were motivated. They're going to be motivated for this game. Although I don't really think it means much. I think it's going to mean more to Durant and the rest of his team to top Westbrook again like they already did. So I'll give the edge to the Warriors. Probably not a blowout. The first game was decided by 26 points. That's probably not going to happen again. But anyways, we'll have to wait and see. And Pauline will obviously talk about it tomorrow on the basketball show. So that's going to conclude the episode for today, guys. I'd like to thank you for listening. My name is Ben Brown. As I mentioned, Pauline will be in the studio tomorrow to talk all things basketball right here at the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast. Have a good day, and we'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.